Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
Good morning. Welcome to At Home with Roby. I'm Patrick McIsaac from Roby Commercial Services. I'm with Trent Hateson from the Roby family of companies. We are your hosts, Trent, Sunday morning, 9 to 10. I'm going to put you on the spot here because we're pre-recording. And Clemson played North Carolina.
I mean, it doesn't matter. They're both trash. What are you talking about?
Oh, goodness gracious.
Man, I took my kids to their first UNC Chapel Hill football game 2 weeks ago, and we were up 17 to nothing right before half. Georgia Tech put it on us. It was embarrassing. My 2.5-year-old was disappointed.
You've been jinxed ever since.
Homeboy.
And then he played NC State, which put him – I mean, y'all took him to the wire, but, you know, it just didn't work out. And I had Scarlett over here, who's all of a sudden this huge NC State fan, by the way. I was all Tar
Heel. Well, she's wanting to be a vet.
I was all Tar Heel.
Our guest today, William McNeely, hails from the Wolf Pack. I'm going to break his fingers before we get out of this – studio.
Or just give him the who do we hate?
NC State.
That's it. I was doing that to Scarlett. She was cutting me down. And then Clemson goes and loses to South Carolina. I mean, I guess after 7 straight wins, we had to let them get one.
I mean, I'll tell you, I don't know. This isn't a football show. You like to always talk about it. Even now you talk about it out of guilt, I think, because you always talk about it when you're bragging. But TJ's back here laughing.
Dang.
I think Georgia's the only team that hasn't disappointed.
And he barked. He just barked. He's barking in the studio.
But, yeah, South Carolina's on fire.
They are.
At least we got one good Carolina school.
No, they look good. I have to give them credit where credit is due. They're playing really well.
And, I'm also a Carolina basketball fan. If you didn't know, I went to Chapel Hill, and it was the biggest drop ever since AP polls have been done from 1 to 18 or 17. That's a great way to go, Hubert. I believe in Hubert.
I do, too. So my dad was so frustrated for Saturday night. I'm like, because they lost in basketball and football.
I'm aware.
And I sent him a text. I'm like, hey, tough day to be a Tar Heel. And he sends back something like, scathed, like something just like
tough day for you to not be my child anymore.
You out. Like it was rough.
Goodness gracious. Well, I mean, otherwise life is really good.
Yeah.
Had a good Thanksgiving vacation holiday.
So did I. Yeah, we would got to go back to good old Indiana.
We had some family in town from Illinois. Some of Reagan's mom's family came down and we did a lot of stuff. We went to old Salem.
You were telling me about that.
Man.
How is that?
You ever been there?
No.
It's pretty good. I'd say it's a good.
It's definitely worth the day trip.
It's fun. It gives you something to do. I mean, it's a backdrop to spend time with people and learn a little bit about history, the way the world works. And it's cool, you know. Inefficiency in how to build stuff. No, I'm kidding.
Of course.
Woodworking.
You're looking at that. You're like, oh, I could have done that quicker through this and there.
But it was good. We got some Lexington barbecue on our way home. If you haven't done that, that is worth a day trip.
Okay.
We're a couple hours.
I have heard this before.
It is great. We got there at 2:20 last Wednesday, so it was the day before Thanksgiving. Got to Lexington barbecue at 2:20, and people were having to park on the side of the highway still because it was so crowded. That's how good their barbecue is.
Man, you know what? I've always wanted to stop there. I'm always in such a hurry to get back, which is terrible. You know, you should stop and smell the roses sometimes. But I think I'm going to have to do that. Now you've given the check mark.
That a little too much. That's why I thought I had a good day today, a free day, and now I haven't done anything today. I have done a lot of stuff today.
I'm reading a book right now that someone recommends called "The Ruthless Elimination of Hurry."
Hmm.
It's a faith-based book. It's pretty good. It kind of opens your eyes that, you know, we're in such a hurry to do everything in the world, but really the faster you try to go, the less your productivity is.
I said this earlier. I had a family business forum I call earlier, and one of our guys is a younger fella, and he's got his first baby, and he's talking about how it's great, but he doesn't understand how somebody would have four or five. I have five children, William, and And I said, hey, my 2.5-year-old sleeps with us every single night now. I mean, snuggles up under my armpit and kicks me in the head. And it's just great because that's going to be gone. And, you know.
Well, your 2.5-year-old who made his air debut from the hospital on this show during COVID. I don't know if any listeners remember, but you had to record from the hospital. And TJ and I were in here by ourselves. And then Knox let out this, and I think TJ made some comment like I was
that was
just
when
like
COVID
Trent.
Started.
He's loud. He's gonna be like Trent. I think that was TJ that said. I would never say that.
That was the last time you, one of the last times you were in the studio for a while.
But really, we weren't here very often. But yeah, I remember. That's crazy. That's 2.5 years.
Hey,
ago.
I wanna take a second, have a moment of silence for Chip and Jason, the two fellas, WBT guys that had the helicopter crash last week. I just want to say, we talk about the golden rule at the end of every show, and since COVID has been over, we've been able to have people back in the studio, and you and I, almost every show, say, hey, if you got a second, we'll do a dog and pony show, take you back to the studio, and Jason, the weatherman, would be working and go out of his way, stop what he's doing, and come and greet our guests and make them feel so warm. I had several guests text me and say, oh, my gosh, that is the nicest guy.
Well, to add to that, I know I'm really glad you brought that up, but there's a picture. I don't post things to Facebook or social media very often. I'm not very good at that. But one of my favorite pictures ever is a picture of Scarlett, my daughter, who's 11. This is 2.5 years ago. She was right around the same time. She was around 9, and same kind of story. I walked her back there. She was here for some reason or another with the recording the show. He stands up, he says, hey, who are you? So enamored with Scarlett. And I'm going to give you a tour behind the scenes. I'm like, man, you don't need to do that, Jay. Like, I really appreciate it.
Like, this isn't in his job description. This is like, hey, get out of my office. You're bothering me.
Right. And so he takes her around, and we have a picture of us behind the desk. And I posted it to Facebook, and I think I said something along the lines of, it's amazing what you can do if you take 5 minutes out of your day for somebody else. And what a reminder for myself and for everybody listening is, like, would do that.
The book you're reading, it's the exact thing. Yeah, like, stop worrying about you're not the centrifuge of Earth. The world doesn't revolve around you, and even extra world. Give a little. Treat people the way you want to be treated. That guy embodied it, and just I'm gonna tear up just in this little way that affected so many people, and I can't believe all the other people. And I'm not trying to take anything away from the pilot.
Right. I understand.
Chip,
he was
as
the
well.
Same way. Yeah.
I mean, kids, family, just enjoy it. Listen, do the best you can do every single minute, not every single day. Well, that sets us up. We got William McNeely. He is a retired entrepreneur. I'm laughing with him. He started a charity, Do Greater Charlotte. Amongst all he's going to talk about, he was referred by Banks Wilson, my partner in some real estate, and my buddy in Union. So when we return, William McNeely, you're listening to At Home with Roby.
Welcome back to At Home with Roby. I'm Patrick McIsaac from Roby Commercial Services, along with Trent Hasten from the Roby family of companies. We are your hosts. If you missed the first segment, go back. You can listen to it. You can podcast us. You can Google At Home with Roby.
There you go.
You can come by the office, come hang out, do whatever you want to do.
That's it?
That's it. Just not on Sundays. We're usually not at the office. But Mondays.
I work here. No, I'm telling a story.
All day, every day.
I don't work every Sunday.
Well, Trent, we're here with William McNeely as our guest. Your shirt is awesome, by the way. Your logo. I love that.
Thank you.
Do Greater.
And it's a D-O with a greater sign, as in greater than or less
there
than.
There you go. It's a math symbol.
And it's not equal to greater.
It's not greater or equal to. It's greater.
Daggone
than.
Greater.
Yes.
Dude, daggone. I did pick up on that. I was really good at math when I was younger. How you doing?
Doing great.
Good.
Glad to be here. Glad to be on the radio.
Glad to have you.
Well, I'm telling you this. When somebody I respect as much as I respect Banks Wilson sends me a text out of the blue and says, hey, this guy would be perfect for your show. He needs to tell his story. You guys would hit it off. Here you are.
Yeah, Banks is my guy. I mean, I met Banks. I think Banks might have been, like, right out of college when I first met him, and he was starting a design firm. And I worked for Apple for a number of years, and I actually was doing some entrepreneurship stuff as well. And he started doing some websites for me and started to figure out this thing about, you know, starting a business. I think it was Studio Banks at the first time, and then moved from there to Union, and been doing some great things over the years. So yeah, I've stayed in contact with him, become a great friend. You know, literally seen him grow up.
Yeah, yeah. Studio Banks.
Studio Banks
did our first website.
Oh, did they?
Randomly. I mean, I think I might have said, "Hey, my wife knew this guy. He went to Olympic. Yep. Yada yada mm-hmm. yada." But yeah, Banks has been on the show a couple times, and like I said, we share the building across the street,
mm-hmm. yep.
Union and the Roby family of companies. He's a great guy, a true entrepreneur.
Yep, absolutely.
And his brother Hunter, I don't know if you've ever
I don't know him well, but I've met him before.
He's an entrepreneur too.
Hunter's been on the show as well. Yeah,
he came on the show, owns a pontoon rental business. Okay. He's the Lake Wiley man.
The Lake Wiley guru.
Owned a PR company, whatever. All of it.
Yeah, he's a boat man.
So you worked at Apple.
I did. I'm an early employee of Apple a long time ago, and started after college, and really wanted to focus on the technology industry when it was, you know, booming and starting this growth. So yeah, I was a part of that. Really focused around my responsibilities with technology was focused around education. So I had an opportunity as a young guy to integrate technology into K-12 and higher education environment. So I probably sold some technology at the school that you went
to. About to say, man. You didn't create Oregon Trail, did you?
No, that wasn't me.
No, that wasn't you. Okay.
But I did sell a lot of them.
I'll bet you did.
Absolutely.
So you went to, you told me a second ago, we're going to back up. South Meg.
South Meg.
Born and raised in Charlotte.
Born and raised in, well, that's a little bit iffy.
Come on, we're okay, all about truth on this show.
This is the
show.
Truth, so... Most people think I was born and raised in Charlotte. My dad was in the Navy.
I was
born in Newark, New Jersey. But as soon as I was born, I moved back to Charlotte.
Okay.
Now, my family's from Charlotte. I just happened not to literally be born at Mercy Hospital.
Got it.
You're familiar with Mercy, it's not there anymore.
So did your family move back here with the Navy or no?
Unfortunately not. My mom and dad split up at that time. He stayed in New Jersey. We moved back to Charlotte. And then my entire school experience has been in Charlotte.
Very
interesting.
Cool.
Got it. Well, I'm a Ram.
Okay, Harding Rams. I love Harding.
Harding is where it's at.
I agree. I love Harding. They need to get that football field worked on, though.
It's hard in the hood, man. Come on.
Well, that's why I'm there. That's why I'm here. Exactly.
So you went from South Met, you went to state. I will say in elementary school at Berry Hill Elementary School, we had a school computer. It was an Apple.
It was probably an Apple II.
We named it, I do not know, I'm not a tech guy, but we named it Apple Annie.
Great.
The school name.
Yeah. Apple Annie.
So you just had one.
Yeah. Well, the school had one.
I think initially when we first started integrating computers, it was like one per school.
One per school.
I was in the third grade. I was like, why do we only have one computer for the whole school? And they said, William McNeely hadn't come through.
Yeah, hadn't sold him yet.
Yeah, well, we went from that, and then we went to one per classroom, and then it was computer labs.
Computer
labs.
I'm a little younger than him, but that happened so fast. I remember going to... Well, a little younger, not a lot younger. It gave me the stink eye there. But we had a computer lab, like six computers, I think, when I was in. Yeah. I grew up outside of Atlanta.
Okay, spent some time there, too.
I think it was an Apple. I think we might have had Macintosh when I was coming out of elementary school.
Yeah, yeah. I spent some time in Apple in Marietta and the Seven County region in Atlanta as well.
Cobb County Schools, man.
Cobb County,
yeah. That was us. Very cool.
Okay, so you spent your career out of college at Apple.
Mostly, out of Apple, education technology. I took a couple of detours like everybody, but it still was in the Apple ecosystem. So that's kind of what I know and always have been around education. And so that's where my heart is. That's where I operate now. But, you know, even with that, I'm a true entrepreneur. I mean, I learned my innovation, my curiosity, my ability to just, you know, see things out of nothing, really honed it at Apple. And that's where I got it from. And so we continue to do that today.
I love it. Yeah. So why did you retired from Apple and now you
Well, not necessarily retired. I mean, that's what I say because I was forced to kind of retire. My story revolves around, I take you back to like 2015. I was working in the educational environment and all of a sudden one day I got sick. I just couldn't breathe. I didn't know what was wrong.
Oh, no.
Took the doctors about 3 months to kind of diagnose what was wrong with me. And I'm literally, my son went to South Mech too. coach football there. Most people who probably are listening, if they know me, a lot of people call me Coach Mac because I was a defensive back coach.
There you go.
And coached at South Mac with my son during that time. And as he was matriculating through high school, I got sick. I was diagnosed with idiopathic pulmonary fibrosis, which is pretty much scarring of the lungs. It had happened many, many years ago. I had been dormant in my system for a number of years, and all of a sudden it showed its reared its ugly head. 2016, all of a sudden, I started to slow down. And then one day I woke up that morning and just could not breathe.
That
My breath, I was struggling. My wife said, "What's wrong?" And I said, "I don't know." Luckily, I had a doctor's appointment that day, and I walked in, and he said, "You need to go to the hospital right now."
Oh, my gosh, that's pretty scary.
And you guys, your blood oxygen level in your body right now is about 99. You're all cool. At that point, mine was like 78. And they were like, "Well, how did you even walk in here?" And at that day, back in 2016, from that day, coaching football the day before, actually running, I was racing high schoolers. The next day, I was on oxygen for the next 3 years.
Oh, my gosh.
So I'm carrying oxygen tanks around with me 24/7. So it was just like that. Blink of an eye, and I was incapacitated, disabled, was what they labeled me as.
So from 15 to 18, you were carrying around an oxygen tank?
I got sick in 15, to diagnose it in 16 when I got oxygenated in 2019. Yeah.
And goodness gracious. You know how to thank your blessings every day, don't you?
Absolutely. I mean, I think it's, we sit here today and, you just don't know what's going to happen tomorrow.
Amen.
And so for me, that was the realization of that day. That next day, I was literally disabled. And so I had to deal with that. And that's part of what Do Great is all about. You know, it's about how do you, really start to look at life a different way. Because I had to. I was forced to immediately within 24 hours.
So how many children do you have?
I got two. I got two kids. My daughter, Jessica, is 29, just got married a couple months ago.
Wow. Congratulations.
Thank you. And my son is now 23. He is a Campbell University football player. He went through South Mac, as I mentioned, and started playing football with Coach Mike Minter at Campbell University.
Wow.
So, So he, defensive back, cornerback. So he graduated last fall, but he had that COVID year.
Yep.
So they gave him an extra year of football. So he just finished that and is headed off to graduate school for Doctor of Physical Therapy.
Good deal. Yep. Wow. Man, you got to be proud, man.
Well, absolutely.
Got you a new son-in-law?
Got a new son-in-law, been around for a while, so he's finally officially in the family.
Got him whooped in a little bit. All right, well, when we come back, that was a wonderful story about your life. It's cool to see how you got to where you are today. I want to hear about this great thing that you champion and are doing.
Absolutely.
When we return, will you stick around for a few minutes?
I'll be here.
All right, you're listening to William McNeely on the At Home with Roby Show. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to At Home with Roby. I'm Patrick McIsaac from Roby Commercial Services. I'm Trent Hasten from the Roby family of companies. We are your host, Trent, here with William McNeely from Do Greater Charlotte. And yep. If you missed the last segment, what a remarkable story. Working his way up through Apple and entrepreneurial mindset. I couldn't imagine a better place to incubate that at Apple during the 80s and 90s.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Two kids.
I want some of his stock. You got some legacy stock?
We might still have a little bit of that left over.
That's why he's smiling so much.
I just think a Forrest company said, got me invested in a fruit company. They opened the envelope and it's the Apple.
Yes. You know how big Apple is today. I think my employee number was like 13,600.
Oh, my goodness gracious.
Yeah, so it was wild.
Goodness gracious. Okay. So 3 years, you got an oxygen tank. Your son's in high school. Your daughter, she's in college, mm-hmm. I'm assuming at the time, or maybe even out of college. And how do you get the idea to start this charity, and where did it come from?
Well, really, at this point now, I am literally, I don't want to put a downer on this because it's not a downer, but I'm literally dying, at this point with the oxygen tanks before I got to 2019. And so as I'm sitting there thinking about what my legacy is
going to
be.
Did they give you a terminal diagnosis?
They did. Pulmonary fibrosis is terminal. Matter of fact, it's funny because I'm a technology guy, and they use the technology term. They say I'm EOL. And in technology term, EOL means basically, they're not supporting the technology anymore. So on my chart, it said EOL.
Oh, gosh.
And I was like, what is that? It's like, you end of life, bro. And that hit me hard because initially I wasn't in a situation where I thought I was literally going to die. I always had the fact that, okay, I'll come out of this. Even though I'm dragging, you know, one oxygen tank, the next year I'm dragging two, the next year I'm dragging three. And I'm still thinking I'm coming out of this, but my chart said EOL. And I looked at it, and I was like, okay, wait a minute, that's not what I wanted to see. And so what I started to think about was, okay, if that's the case, then what impact am I going to make in the rest of the time that I might have? And so that's when Do Greater came about, and it really was focused around this thing, and I can literally see myself doing it. I sat down, and I had a piece of paper, and I wrote this sentence down. It says, continue to do something greater that will continue giving when you are no longer able to give. And I said, okay, do something greater that will continue to give. I said, what is that? I don't know what that is or what that means. From that day on, I started to plan this foundation that could actually impact lives of kids in under-resourced communities, because that's where I came from. I grew up on the west side of Charlotte. Like you went to Harding. I actually was in Clinton Park. Now, I didn't go to Harding or West Charlotte or Olympic because in my time, it was this thing called busing. And so I was bused from west side of Charlotte to Carmel and South Meck, which is how I got to the south side of Charlotte as it relates to my education. And so for me, I knew at that time that the success of my family, as I mentioned, my older brothers, we all, you know, four of us, single family home, oldest one went to state first, second one, Carolina.
Wow.
I went to state and my sister went to East Carolina.
Wow.
So single parent. West Side, four
Mama
kids.
Did all of good. Sudden.
Yeah, mom was like, you got to get out of here. And so when I started to think about that, I said, well, what was it that in my mind gave us that momentum to do that? And it was all about, for us, it was this access and exposure to the types of things that we could do and become. It was like, I saw things that I could become. And not necessarily, that doesn't happen in certain neighborhoods, but you start to see architects and engineers and mathematicians and all these folks that you can interact with. And so that happened to us. And so for me, it was like, okay, is there an organization that I can start that provides that type of access and exposure to kids who might not otherwise have that opportunity?
Yeah.
And?
Yeah. How did,
and
I'm
we
on
did.
The edge of my chair.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like,
well,
we want
back
more.
In 2019, I got, you know, literally they pulled me in and said, William, you got 2 weeks to live.
Oh, gosh.
I remember this.
Think they were wrong.
Yeah, it's February and it going into March, and they said, okay, it's Thursday afternoon. They call me in. I'm deteriorating rapidly. I mean, literally, I couldn't walk across, you know, 50 steps without having to sit down. So they call me in and said, you got 2 weeks to go. We have to do something. And they said, either you get a double lung transplant or that's it. And I said, well, there's been people on the transplant list for a year. I said, you telling me I have 2 weeks to go? I'm sitting here in front of you and you want me to get a transplant. Well, how's that going to happen? That was on a Thursday. By Saturday, he called me and said, William, we have lungs. And I said, you do?
Amazing.
And so they call me in. They do all the tests. They prep me. They do all of this. Now, in this scenario, there's a lot of times they call them dry runs. A lot of times there are a lot of people who go through this process and all of a sudden you're ready for lungs and the lungs are not your size. They're not appropriate. Something's wrong with them. All of that. Well, I get in there and they go prep and everything. They say, look, these lungs are a little bit too big for you. The person's body, but we're going to shave them down and put them in. I was like, what?
Yeah.
I was like, they were like, we're going to do whatever we can. Because basically I was gone.
Unbelievable.
They did it on that Saturday. That Sunday morning, I woke up at 100% oxygenation in my blood, started breathing. They said, you know, it's probably going to take you 6 to 8 months to get right, get rehab, get you back out. Got to be careful. I think it was 2 weeks I was out of the hospital. By Memorial Day 2019, I was back in Charlotte. I came back that weekend, and by that Friday, I was out pitching Do Greater Charlotte, raising money for it. And from that day on, we've had this vision of creating this organization that really focuses on this access. And so we went down. You probably saw our Do Greater mobile truck that we have.
Right
around the corner from your office.
Right behind us.
We got this. It was a Lance cookie truck. And we said, we're going to turn this into a mobile lab. And they were like, what? You're going to do what? I said, yeah, it's going to turn into a mobile lab. And so we gutted the Lance cookie truck, put iPads in it, Wi-Fi, wrapped it. And remember now, we have no money, zero. And so all of this that we talk about is that there was $0 to do any of this. And so we built that truck in about a month and a half. and we started taking it out in the communities, teaching kids around this creativity, around what we call creative confidence, building creative confidence in kids that, so they know that their ideas matter. And we did that until COVID reared its ugly head.
God,
so COVID was the next. My timing was pretty off.
Oh, man.
Because we got 15 kids in the back of a truck. Yeah. And yeah. No, you're not doing that.
There's 6 feet in there, right?
Yeah. 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 So no 6 feet in that truck. So we had to kind of pivot a little bit around what's next. How can we now create this platform to interact with kids outside of this mobile technology lab? And that's when the physical space came around. It's like, how do we create the space? Because what we saw in doing COVID was we thought it was three things that kids need and all of us as adults need too to be successful. That was one, they still had to have access to these technology tools. So in your job, you got to have the certain tools to do what you do. If you don't have that, you don't do it. Well, our kids in these communities don't have that as well. Second thing was, okay, they need a creative space to do this. They need a cool space too. Now, I'm sure, you know, I passed by the Roby office. They look pretty cool. You know, so we're saying the same thing. Okay, why can't our kids have that as well?
Yeah.
And then the third thing was, okay, how do we create this nurturing community around them? I got to bring people like you in contact with our kids. And so that's where we started, right at right before COVID.
Man, that is cool. So where is your physical space?
So now, right around the corner from your office, we partnered with Shiloh Institutional Baptist Church.
Yep.
And right before COVID, we walked into that space and we said, we need some space to activate our programs. Shiloh, as you know, a lot of churches during COVID, you know, lost members. They were, you know, I won't say they lost members, but I think it was more of underutilized space. And so for us, it's how do we take this space now and activate it in the community? So when we walked in, we saw the fellowship hall. And we were like, oh, that's cool. But then they had this door that they never opened. And I said, what's behind that door? And they said, well, you know, we used to have a daycare. We hadn't had it in 15 years. I opened that door and it was dust blew out on me.
Yeah.
But I looked at it and said, wait a minute, this is 5,000 square feet of space. Nobody's been in it for 15 years. We got to use
Goodness gracious.
And so that was the idea of what we call the Creative Lab. And this Creative Lab is our first one, we think, Creative Lab at Shiloh. And we turned it into an innovation hub for youth, just like you would see in any corporate facility in Charlotte.
Wow.
And if you drive by it now, I mean, the side, your signage, I mean, you guys are, you're there. I mean,
I can't believe. We opened a coop 2 weeks ago. So it took us, we started 2 years ago raising money. Last year, this time we broke ground. And then 1 year later, just 2 weeks ago, we opened.
Yeah. Awesome. I went by it this morning. I mean, I hadn't noticed it until really you were coming on the show, but it must have been recent. I'd go by there every day.
Yeah. It looks like a church
right there.
But when you open that front door, it looks like an innovation hub.
Well, William, I'm going to break the rules here.
Please do.
We don't have any intention on the last segment. Will you hang out with us for our last segment?
Would love to.
William McNeely, Do Greater Charlotte, when we return, you're listening to At Home with Roby.
Welcome back to At Home with Roby. I'm Patrick McIsaac from Roby Commercial Services. I'm Trent Hasten from the Roby family of companies. Segment four, Trent, we have William McNeely from Do Greater Charlotte. I say it all the time. I know I'm going to assume that you agree with me, but man, do we get some really
it's cool.
Unbelievable
And we
people.
Love charities. We love local charities. We love people just trying to do good, period.
Yep.
And
he's doing great.
Good is the enemy of great.
I was thinking the same thing, Jim Collins, yeah.
But I mean, you talked about eating at community. You had a meeting that you're doing Giving Tuesday at Community Matters.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That is the Charlotte Rescue Mission's
yes.
charitable restaurant. You know, that
yep.
helps folks get back on their feet and mm-hmm. go get a job, earn a living,
yeah.
get some pride. You know, and we just love it. I particularly am fond of Charlotte and the Southeast and West side of Charlotte.
Yep.
But I agree with what you say. God bless that I grew up in this family business. We might have been an old school family construction company, but my dad let me have a free mind and introduced me and took me around his customers and the mm-hmm. people, business guys and women that he interacted with, and wanted me to see this broader world than he ever knew.
Yeah.
And without that, I might have just assumed I was going to grow up theoretically on the West Side and that was going to be my plight in life.
Yeah.
And not that you can't find happiness at any level of life. Mm-hmm. I think sometimes simple is can be happier. But people only know what they know. And I agree. I was going to make a joke. You grew up on the rich side of town. And then you tell me the story. You were bused to the rich side of town.
Yeah, I was bused over
in
there,
theory,
yes.
You know, as, yes, as a Harding Ram and a Westside Wilson middle school guy.
Oh, yeah. My brother went to Wilson.
I loved Wilson.
Yeah, I started at Ashley Park.
Yeah, it's Ashley Park. Yes. Yeah. My sister went to Spa.
There you
so,
go.
But I think it's... You got to introduce these folks at a young age to what the infinite opportunities this world has.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah. Well, absolutely. And that's what, you know, that, I think sometimes we take that for granted a little bit. You know, growing up, my mom had to literally drive us or bus us or get us to these opportunities that we can explore, you know, new things for ourselves. But nowadays, a lot of times, you just, you know, you got kids who just might not even get out of their neighborhood a lot. And mm-hmm. so for us, it's, and then transportation is a huge issue with some of these great programs that are in the city. And so for us, it's just, you know, how do we create these great facilities inside neighborhoods where our kids can walk to them? And neighborhoods are changing so rapidly. You know, you talk about where we are. We're in Camp Green, Ashley Park.
Yeah,
well,
yeah.
Camp Green, Ashley Park doesn't look like Camp Green,
it
Ashley
doesn't
Park
at all.
That,
even
that
10
we,
years
when
ago.
We grew up.
I mean,
you know,
even 10 years
so,
ago. Man,
exactly.
Total
so,
difference. Yeah, transformation.
So the other issue around that is that now how do you create connection between, you know, new development, new community, yeah, new neighbors with legacy community and neighbors who have been there? Where is it that they come together? And so a space like ours, Creative Lab, is where we bring kids in and youth in, and then we create what we call these creative collisions. You know, we got folks who come in and have these professional aspirations or professional jobs and creativity, and we had these kids come in now, and now we can put them together. And even in our space, we have a full-service coffee shop. So we open up a Creative Lab coffee shop.
I saw that.
And so that was for one reason, to get these new community members into our space. And I love coffee. I'm there. And so we knew that that would be a draw. And as soon as they come in, we say, hey, you know, great coffee here, because we partnered with Inslee Coffee. I'll give them the plug.
Yeah.
Great coffee. And then they're like, okay, what are you guys doing? It's a cool facility. This is like where I work. And then we start telling them what we do.
You tell them to interact with the kids.
That's right. You got
to
drink coffee and then go next
yeah,
door and
talk
with the kids.
To the, go over there and see what's yeah, going on.
It's absolutely called a creative
collision. Give them boys and girls confidence.
Yes.
Right?
Exactly.
It's all about confidence.
It is.
And belief.
It is.
Man, that is, how can people find out about you? Where do they go?
Yeah, our website is dogreater.org, and I also give Union a pitch. They're redeveloping our website right now with Banks. But dogreater.org, they can find out how to become involved with us or stop by the Creative Lab, and we're right
come
there.
Get some coffee. Yeah,
get some coffee. Creative Lab coffee shop is open in the
what,
mornings.
What road is it on?
Berry Hill. And
we're on Berry Hill and Moorhead. So yeah, we're a block off of Moorhead.
Yep. A block off of Moorhead. Yeah, mm-hmm. I know exactly where you are. Right behind us.
Right behind us.
Y'all been working. I've noticed that. I need to pay more attention. Yeah. You've had that banner in the yard.
Yeah, it looks like a church now. I
saw some construction like going on, and we weren't doing it, so I always looked the other way, hit a tree.
Did you say hit a tree? These are
we're
true stories.
We're talking about that after the
yeah,
after the
yeah, yeah. I didn't say anything.
It wasn't that tree.
I'm going to come by and drink some coffee.
Yeah,
how about that? That is wonderful. Wow. William, God bless you, man.
We appreciate it.
I think that is wonderful.
But before you roll out, I've been noticing your armband here, the other one. Grind yes, plus faith. I couldn't see the other part because I love both,
yes,
both those
yes,
things. What does that equal?
Yeah, grind by faith is live with hope, grind by faith, and do greater. And this is what
love that
grind everybody who, yeah, everybody who supported you know, me and our organization doing my double lung transplant is what they wore. And
grind
it was like, keep grinding by faith.
I mean, you had some faith, my brother.
Absolutely.
Goodness gracious. I always talk about that's what I think this world, when I'm pontificating with my wife and trying to give our kids good information, it's you got to have faith. You got to believe in stuff that you can't touch and feel. I think sometimes the world gets so wrapped up, if you can't hold it, then nobody believes in it.
Yep.
And that is wonderful. I'm so glad Banks Wilson introduced us. And I promise you, I will be by for coffee frequently,
we'll
and I'll interact
it
with
we'll
those
kids.
We'll
walk by there. We can just walk there. I mean, there's no excuse for us.
Yeah.
Well, if I hollered on the phone like I used to, I would walk around and holler. You'd hear me. But I don't. I try
you don't do that anymore.
I try not to do that anymore. All right. How was it, Patrick?
Wonderful. Thank you for coming on, William.
Well, listen.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you, William McNeely, do Greater Charlotte. Go have a wonderful day. Thank you, listener, for listening to our show, patronizing us. It means a lot. Talk about us. Share us with your friends. And do this on this Sunday. Go do the golden rule. Treat others the way you want to be treated and carry a smile around on your face. Thanks for listening.